You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The AL West continues to be a pretty interesting race between, right now, the Mariners and the Rangers, but I don't think you can count out the Houston Astros yet, who just had a five-game winning streak snapped. So the very interesting things over there. And in the NL West, the Padres are just trying to sort of get through the season while the Giants continue to establish themselves as the true front runner. So let's talk to the reporters about all of that. Barry, so the last time we talked, which was a while ago, we were talking about the fact that the Dodgers may have problems with their rotation. So we'll start at the beginning. Julio Urías, who is the young 19-year-old phenom who has been pushed into starting duty, because they're just so shorthanded. So he had a very, very short outing in this first one. And as we're recording this, he has just come out of his start against the Cubs. He gave up five runs in five innings, three home runs. Not so good. So really with him, he really is probably not supposed to be in this position in the first place, right? I mean, they're pushing him into duties that he might not be ready for.
Well, I saw him in spring training, and he didn't look ready in spring training. To me, he's just pretty raw. And, they were desperately looking for fourth and fifth starters back then, too. And, they came to the conclusion that he wasn't ready for the opening day roster. And the situation has gotten worse since then as more pitchers become injured. I mean, now you have Alex Wood on the disabled list. I saw the Dodgers at Citi Field on Sunday night, and Davey Roberts was talking about Ryu being moved back again cautiously because of more shoulder issues. I mean, really, when you have Alex Wood and Ryu and Brett Anderson and Brandon McCarthy, they're all on the disabled list. It leaves you with Kershaw, Maeda, and Kazmir. And really, if Kershaw doesn't win every time he goes around, and he was lucky that they won on Sunday night, considering the pitching moves that Davey made at the end of the game, they're really in a lot of trouble. And meanwhile, the Giants have created some distance in the division as they've played well even through their own injuries in the last month.
Yeah, and the Dodgers, assuming that they are going to lose this game that they are currently playing right now, they'd be 28-27. They started the day four and a half games back of the Giants. And the problem really is that they don't have – I mean, the whole thing was going into this season, the Dodgers have so much depth, they have so much depth. And, I mean, having depth at positions is well and good and fine and necessary for your hitters, your position players. But, I mean, it always comes down to pitching, and I don't – It's more bad luck, though, right? I mean, you can't really put a lot of the blame on the Dodgers for not having plans B, C, and D. It's just that those plans C and D have also gotten hurt. Is it just bad luck, or do you think there's something else going on there?
Well, I might dispute that in this way, that last November, when the Greinke sweepstakes were going on between the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Diamondbacks, The Dodgers were told, you're going to have to give him a 6-year if you want to keep him. They decided that they weren't going to give Greinke the 6-year. The Diamondbacks at the last second came back and offered the 6-year, and that's how they signed him. So when the Giants lost him, they went out and spent the $200 million that they were going to spend on Greinke, on Samardzija and Cueto, who've had tremendous seasons for them behind Bumgarner. I mean, you've got a threesome there. And then Peavy now is starting to pitch better, and Kane pitched well before he went out with a hamstring. Where the whole rotation was going around, they were in they won something like 13 out of 14 games, and every one of the games were quality starts going around that rotation until Kane got hurt, and today Bumgarner homered and won against the Braves, so I mean this is what they're up with. The Dodgers, instead, they signed Kazmir and Maeda. Maeda being a guy that, has elbow problems and is a nice little pitcher, but they wound up having to negotiate lower terms on a contract with a lower guarantee and a lot of incentives depending on how much he plays over the next 5 to 7 years. And then they, they had Chapman, and they decided after Chapman's incident that they didn't want him, and they gated the trade. They had Iwakuma, and something went south with that, and he went back to Seattle. I mean, it's just been one thing after another with Dodgers in their front office, and it left them with just a threadbare rotation, even with the guys they had healthy going into spring training. And I even said to Roberts, who I've known for a long time, and I consider him to be a close friend, you know, he's a cancer survivor too, and it's like, geez, you know, this wasn't the way you really wanted to start your first tour as a manager, was it? And he just laughed. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it was just a bad situation from the get-go.
The San Francisco Giants just completed a ridiculous 21-8 month of May. Needless to say, they are sitting pretty at the top of the NL West division. And I don't even think that I thought that they were going to be this good, but I did think that they were going to be good. So I'm Allison Footer. Let's talk about that with Chris Happ. Chris, you know, when I was a beat writer covering the Astros, I said that the hardest game stories to write were the ones where the Astros starting pitcher went seven innings, gave up a run, pitched really well, the middle of the order produced, they won 5-2, blah, 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 boring, 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 team is too good. Because I never had anything, you know, really to say beyond that. Because things were, and so as I'm preparing for our podcast, I'm like, oh, my God, what are we going to talk about? Because this team is so good, and everything is kind of hitting on all cylinders. And so I guess instead of just sitting here, you know, talking about how great all 25 guys are, we'll pick out a couple, starting with Johnny Cueto, who, okay, granted, these were starts against the Padres and the Rockies, so not hugely challenging, but he had a really great week, player of the week in the National League. I guess they couldn't have asked for more than what they've gotten from him, right? He's just been really awesome.
That was an absolute lot. They had high expectations for him, but I think he actually has exceeded those. I mean, there's been nine Giants pitchers, and you know they've had some. Maybe they haven't been known for pitching over the years, but maybe more in recent years they have, and they've had some, you know, aces since they moved to San Francisco in 1958. I mean, guys like Juan Marichal, who's still my favorite pitcher. You know, I mean, just outstanding names. And only nine times has a pitcher, a Giants pitcher in the San Francisco era, won eight or more games in his first 11 starts of the season. And Johnny joined that list the other day. So, I mean, that just shows you, you know, nine or 10 or whatever out of a few hundred. You know, that's a pretty select group.
Yeah, and I mean, you have to really, when we look back at the offseason and the Giants, what they did, they didn't mess around. I mean, when they were putting their team together to fortify it with two very expensive, very established starting pitchers, they clearly saw that they weren't, they had to have looked at what their season was last year, not that far off, pretty much derailed by injuries, and they were really kind of going in for the kill, right?
With the off season? Oh, definitely.
Yeah, in the off season.
No, they couldn't get
messing around.
Right. Yeah, they couldn't get Greinke. That actually turned out to be better. Because
right.
They end up getting Samardzija and Johnny Cueto, and both those guys have been, I mean, they have three aces on this staff. I don't think, I guess they could have said that in the days of Lincecum and Kane when they had two, maybe two and, you know, two and a half, because Vogelsong filled in very well. Zito had his moments. But, again, they've got, I shouldn't look ahead to the postseason, but they've got three reliable guys they can depend on in October. So, let's almost maybe race to that. I don't want to mention October, but at this point, but they are, and then with Denard Span, you know, getting a center fielder / leadoff hitter they needed, he's starting to pick it up a little bit. And with that, the offense, which has been maybe their one weak point, is starting to pick up too.
AJ, where do we want to start? They had a 1-7 road trip. Let's just get that out of the way right now. Not a good one. I used to hate these kind of questions when I was a reporter, but I'm going to ask you, how is the morale of the team at this point?
Well, I think the win to start the homestand helped, but it's a little shaken after that road trip because really it couldn't get much worse. Two of those series were against division rivals. One of them was a sweep at the hands of the Giants, which if they had any chance of kind of hanging around, they needed to kind of make their statement there in San Francisco, and they got beaten pretty badly. I mean, it's kind of exactly the morale you'd expect the clubhouse. Lost 7 out of 8 games, including the last two of which in Seattle were just starting in the seventh inning on Monday. They were brutal. They got outscored, I think, 25-7 in the two games. So they're happy to be back home, but I think and some of the James Shields and Matt Kemp talked yesterday. Basically said, you know what, we can talk as much as we want. Basically, all we have to do is we have to change it on the field, and to some extent, they're right.
Yeah, so we the elephant in the room, kind of let's just get that out of the way. Ron Fowler, executive chairman of the Padres, was on a radio show recently and had some very, very strong statements to make about the Padres. So he really did not dance around anything. So just saying that they're basically failures and embarrassment, and he called some guys out. You know, we don't need to beat this into the ground more than it is, but my feeling on it was that this doesn't do anything to help for the main reason, because not only do the Padres players have to deal with the losing and trying to turn that around, now they have to answer questions about this interview. So, you know, you're taking another 20 minutes where now reporters want them to respond to this, and that's just got to be sort of an uncomfortable thing, especially for a guy like James Shields, who, what is he supposed to say in a situation like this?
Yeah, and that's the one thing. Ron Fowler's a fiery guy, and he wants to win, and that's the same thing with most of the Padres. I think if you ask about any fan in San Diego, they're frustrated with the team's performance so far and the performance over the last couple of years. I think the one thing maybe that I disagree with would be calling James Shields out, because Shields, until that one start, had pitched pretty well this season and just hadn't gotten a whole lot of runs for it. But he's in doing what he did, he's kind of speaking for the voice of the fan, the frustrated fan. At the same time, it doesn't solve a whole lot, because for things, something has to change in the play on the field for the record to improve. And right now the Padres just aren't playing good baseball, last night's win aside.
Yeah, no, they have a long way. I mean, this is a transitional time for them. We know that they weren't going to compete in the division. So there were no, you know, grand illusions about that, but they certainly want to at least show that they're moving in the right direction. I'm just worried about this organization as a whole, not to get off on a tangent, but to see how much minor league talent they gave up to make this run from two off seasons ago when they added all of these established veterans, and it didn't work. So now they don't have much in the farm system, and they don't have any winning product on the field at the major league level. So I just can't imagine where they're. I mean, do you think there's some concern within the front office? Like, what are we going to do next?
Well, what they're going to do next is they have 6 picks in the first 85 of this year's draft. So, and then they're planning on spending a lot of money in the international signing period. So I think they kind of view this next month or two as a complete transition point for the franchise. I think anything that happens on the field this season, barring some miracle comeback in the division, anything that happens on the field this season is second to kind of how they build from within this year. We've seen the development. Craig Kimball trade was clearly a good trade for the Padres. Their top prospect, Manny Margot, is playing very well at Triple-A. So I think they kind of view these next 2 months as maybe the most, and also they have trade pieces. So what happens over the next 2 months in terms of how they build the organization kind of from the ground up is going to go a long way toward mitigating some of that concern.
Steve, I realize that you are not here with me, but I'm assuming that you know what went on. Zach Greinke struck out 11 and shut out the Astros through several innings and was just very good. I was looking at his splits. I didn't realize that he's really good on the road and really terrible at home. So I guess there's really not an explanation for that, is there?
No, I think, Allison, if you look at a number of those, the starting pitcher splits, you'll find the same thing, that they've struggled at home, especially early in the year. I think the first month of the season really kind of skews those numbers. They've pitched a little bit better at home. They did in May, I should say, now that we're on to June. But certainly in April, it was a struggle for them at home, pitching-wise and results-wise. And they turned that around a little bit in May, at least from the pitching standpoint, but then the hitters seemed to to stop hitting in May at home. So home has not been a kind place to the Diamondbacks, bottom line, for either hitters or the pitchers this year.
Yeah, so with Greinke, I mean, it's got to be nice for the Diamondbacks to see him do things like this. I mean, you know, I'm just looking at the Diamondbacks, and I'm like, I even asked one of the writers, I said, are they this bad? You know, because, like, the Astros, I mean, they've been, you know, they were just terrible for, like, the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. I'm like, but they're not actually this bad. But I don't know. The Diamondbacks just seem to be kind of, maybe, I feel like they're, like, sort of uninspired, which is what happens when you lose a lot of games, right? You just look like you're just blah. But they've got some problems. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think that, you know, any time a team, especially if they're struggling to score runs, always looks uninspired. Or if their pitchers are giving up runs, a lot of runs early in the game, they look uninspired. So I think that's kind of part of it. It's been hard to put your finger on why they've struggled this year. I mean, you can point to the pitching in April. You can point to the hitters at certain times. But it's hard to just understand why overall there's been so much, I guess you would call it, underachievement on a number of different fronts. So it's one of those things where I know they look uninspired, but they don't, you know, they don't come across that way when you're around them on a day in, day out basis. It's just when you're watching the games and the team is losing, it's hard to look like you're inspired.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Archie Bradley. He was called up for obvious reasons. There's a lot of injuries in that rotation right now. Pitched pretty well, so I know that he's still very high on their list of people they'd like to be contributing to the team for the next, for a long time. So I guess that was good to sort of see him break through like that.
Yeah, they really, what they like about him is that it seems like his fastball has really kind of come back this year to be more of a mid-90s fastball with some life on it, whereas last year it was more in the low 90s without as much life. And it seems like he's also starting to get the hang of his secondary pitches. His breaking ball was good in his last start for them, and that's a key for him. If he's able to drop that in for strikes when he needs to, he becomes even that much more effective. So I think they've been really impressed with what they've seen from him down in Reno, which is not, you know, the Pacific Coast League is not an easy place to pitch, and he had an ERA in the ones in the Pacific Coast League as a starter, which is pretty impressive. And, you know, he came up and gave him a lift in his first start since being called up, and I think they're excited to see what they can get from him, and he's going to get a little bit of an extended look here because Ruby De La Rosa is going to be out of the rotation, it looks like, for quite some time.
So the Rockies would like to not burn out their starting staff, I guess, and maybe want to do some things, manipulate things to give us some extra rest, or maybe they should. What is your take on all of this?
Yeah, we're watching the Rockies in the midst of 27 straight days of action. That includes the game that was rained out on a Sunday in Pittsburgh. So a long time without an off day. And they've gone to a pretty young rotation here. Tyler Chatwood coming off missing last year with the Tommy John surgery. Then you have John Gray. You got guys like Chad Bettis and Chris Russon and also Eddie Butler. None of those guys have pitched a wire-to-wire season in a big league starting rotation. In fact, none of them have had a wire-to-wire big league season, none of those guys. So you've got guys who are just pitching without that extra day off, and that was the question that I asked to Walt Weiss and also to the general manager, Jeff Breidich. Do you insert someone in there to give these guys an extra day of rest? And also, as the season goes, do you pay attention to those innings? Because if they stayed like this in a rotation, that's going to be a lot of innings and a big jump for these guys. So the Rockies will have to figure out a way to get these guys some rest along the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even like it's a luxury. I mean, it's something that they're going to have to do if they want to have these guys around for years. And, I mean, really, is there like a loose pitch limit? I mean, if some of these guys haven't pitched more than 150 innings in a season or whatever it is, I mean, you see teams all the time doing that, even the teams that are contending, even teams that have to take out their, like, stud 22-year-old as they're trying to win a division, if it means preserving his career. So they sort of have an obligation to do that, right?
Yeah, they do, and they do pay a lot of attention to that. People were criticizing them last year when they brought up John Gray and they put him on that strict innings limit. We know there's a history of doing that, and we know that they will do that with guys that they prize. And like I say, they right now, because of the struggles of Jorge De La Rosa. They've got a rotation full of guys all in that situation. So it brings up an interesting subject that I've broached with the general manager, Jeff Rydich, is they have some really good arms in the minors. Jeff Hoffman at AAA, Kyle Freeland at AA, and both those guys are in a situation where they're coming off injuries and you want to limit their innings. But if you want to rest the guys in this rotation and also get those guys involved in the major leagues, why not every now and then bring those guys up for one start? And no matter what happens, whether they get rocked or whether they throw a no-hitter, they go back down to AAA the next day and stay in that rotation. And that way they get their taste of the major leagues, but it's not under such an innings limit. It allows them to compete in the major leagues, to pitch to win games. And then toward the end of the season, you taper off on their innings, and you find ways to give the guys who are in the current rotation more rest at the end. But I say, but why not bring up a Freeland, or why not bring up a Hoffman and give the guys in the current rotation an extra day's rest and also get a look at these young kids? So that's something that right now Jeff Rydich says those talks are only internal at this point, nothing that they're going to talk about publicly. But that's something I'm going to keep an eye on as this season goes, because there's more than one way to break in a guy. As you mentioned, remember Steven Strasburg, they pitched him throughout the regular season and then cut him off in September. Rather than kind of bringing up a guy in August or September and just having him throw three or four innings at a time. I mean, there are many ways to do it when you have arms that you like, and you know that this Rockies rotation will be better in future years than it is right now.